life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 157 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. And joining us today to review the summer anime season, for some reason I'd written spring down, which took me by surprise, to review the summer anime season and cast his eyes towards the autumn, is Bradley C. Meek.
Copy and paste is a real bitch, isn't it, Brian?
It is, yes. Particularly once I thought, I've written so much else in this document, I must have rewritten the intro as well. But no, turns out that was not the case. So, as has now become tradition on these review episodes, we are first going to do our UK anime release sweepstake. It's like fantasy anime league. But a lot less complicated and doesn't rely on my anime list. Okay, because if you don't know, there is actually a fantasy anime league, which...
Mm-hmm.
Which involves what?
Well, basically what you do is you try and predict what anime will be popular among my anime list users, and I think they measure it by how many people say they're watching it and how much they like it.
That sounds
you
brilliant.
Pick like 5 shows and that gives you points and so on. Like, it's an interesting way to try and say, oh, I understand what's popular with the youth nowadays. I'm hip to that.
Whoever picked the title, which that guy was changing all the anime's titles to, must have scored big that week.
I'm going to sign up to this. This sounds good.
Yeah, you probably still have time. I know Scamp, who's been on this show before, actually runs kind of a version of it on his website. So just leave a comment and you can see how you rank with other people who read the Kark Driver.
Ah. But in our anime release sweepstake, what we do is we pick some forthcoming UK anime releases and say when we think they will actually be coming out, as opposed to when they're supposed to be coming out. Or in some cases, when they currently are supposed to be coming out, because they may have already been delayed when we discuss them. So, last episode we did this was back in the summer, and the first pick was Steins Gate Complete Blu-ray, which came out on time, so Bradley got a point.
Yay!
Then it was Kamisama Kiss Collection, which came out on time, so Anthony got a point. So, you're drawing now. Then it was Evangelion 3.33, you can, open brackets, not, close brackets, redo, on Blu-ray. Now, this was due out on the 25th of August. It is now due sometime in 2015, and as Anthony had picked the latest, late October, early November, he gets the point, because he was the closest.
Get in.
Oh, licensing. Then it was One Piece Movie Collection 2, which came out on time, so Anthony got a point.
I'm good.
Then it was Gurren Lagann Complete Collection, which was due out on the 1st of September after being delayed from May. Anthony won this
point.
Anthony won the point of this, Auntie. Anthony won the point on this by saying 2 months, because that's closer than my... on time. My 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Bradley
had on time.
I briefly had this one, and then it got delayed again due to a mix-up between the printer and the duplicator. I don't know. God damn it. God damn Anime Limited and their ability to announce anime, but not such a great ability to release them. And finally, Attack on Titan Part 1 Blu-ray. Bradley said on time, so he got the point. So there was only 2 delays.
Both big delays.
Pretty big, yes. So that was 2 points to Bradley and 4 points to Anthony and no points to me. I briefly had a point, but then it disappeared before
snatched
my very eyes. So, and for those keeping records, the late ones were Manga Video, Evangelion, and Anime Limited was Gurren Lagann. So moving on to the next lot of predictions. Berserk Movie 3, The Advent. Sorry, Berserk Golden Age Movie 3, The Advent, just in case they actually get around to adapting anything else. It is supposed to be coming out on 6th of October from Manga Video. It has been through the BBFC, so that's not a problem. I didn't look to see whether or not they've had to cut anything out of it, but, Bradley, do you think this will come out on time, or do you have a differing prediction?
I'm gonna say it's gonna be out on time. I think, actually, hasn't Manga been pretty good about getting their, Blu-rays out on time in the UK?
They are generally pretty good. It's okay. When they tend to get undone by things like, whoever the licensor was on Evangelion, when we Gainax, it'll be the distributor, saying, hold fire on that Blu-ray. What about you, Anthony?
I would have said on time, but obviously I can't now. I guess 1 month late, just to be a bit extreme. I think Bradley's got this one, but...
Yeah, I'm going to go 1 week. Just in case there's some sort of distribution problem. Next up is Patima Inverted from Anime Limited, due out on the 3rd of November. And was there a Kickstarter involved in this? I seem to remember some...
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. It's everywhere that I look, I feel.
Yes, there was a... Oh, it's for the Ultimate Edition, was through Kickstarter. So this is Standard Edition. Okay, Anthony.
I think this is going to be bang on time. I think there's been a lot of fuss around this, and I just feel, you know...
I'm going to say it's going to come out a month late.
Ooh.
Bradley.
I'm going to be courageous and not split the difference. I'm going to say it's going to be over a month late. So a month and a day is the technical prediction, but it still gets me.
Okay, next up is Samurai Champloo Collection from MVM. I don't think we did it. Oh, we did Kamisama Kiss was MVM last time, and that was on time. It's due out on the 3rd of November. I'm going to go on time on this.
I didn't even know this was coming out, never mind.
This is on Blu-ray.
Ah, okay.
I already have the MVM DVD collection. Bradley.
I would have taken on time as well. So we're going to say a week late.
And Anthony.
I'm going to say 2 weeks. I would have said on time as well, but someone got there first.
Okay. Back to you, Anthony. it's Bradley this time. Bradley, Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods from Manga Video on Blu-ray, 10th of November.
On time again. By the way, I like that this game, whose premise is kind of about how late these things often are, suddenly on time has become the most desirable.
It is pretty good. Yes. Okay, but there are two more Anime Limited titles coming up, so be aware of that. Okay, Anthony.
I'm going to say a month late for this.
I'm going to say a week. Okay, next up, Space Dandy, Series 1 from Anime Limited, due out on the 24th of November.
Is this DVD and Blu-ray?
It's this Blu-ray. I don't know about the DVDs. Yeah, these are all going to be Blu-ray from now on.
Okay,
I'm
going
to say... care about DVD.
On time.
On time. I'm going to say... 2015.
Poor goodness. Wow.
Care to pick a month in 2015? Because I think it's 2015 as well, so...
Okay, I shall pick February 2015.
Oh, I would have picked that as well, but we'll go March then.
Not a fan of this. I still could be right, I suppose, but still.
You have plenty of room to be right here.
Oh, I do. It's like, you know.
I've just been burned by that Gurren Lagann. And Nerima Daikon Brothers I have on order from Anime Limited, which they can't even give a release date for now. Also from Anime Limited. Kill the Kill, yeah. Volume 1. Oh, yeah, due to release on 8th of December. And Kill the Kill... it's going to have slightly fancy... I'm going to go I'm gonna, big gamble, I'm gonna say on time.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
Bradley.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I'm gonna say a month and beyond.
Okie doke. And finally, from MVM, Watamote Collection on the 15th of December. Bradley.
Sure, yeah, I'll say on time.
Anthony.
1 week.
Okay, so 1 week's going to be... So I can't say it's going to come out... Okay, I'm going to be ridiculous. I'm going to say it's going to come out a week early. There is plenty of time for release schedules to get moved, so it could come out. They could move it back a week.
Oh, what a twist. Old,
but...
I really don't want to win any points in this, do I? So, join us in January to find out how we did.
Yeah.
Because that may be tricky, because I think we may be recording the next episode of one of these before the 15th of December. Okay, mm-hmm. I may get shifted across over into the next one. Maybe I didn't plan out that very well. Okay, on to weekly retro recap, where we controversially dumped Paranoia Agent last week. Because Anthony wasn't mad enough to...
Don't just blame me here. This is it was more you than me in the end.
It was you. Yeah. You were the one, you were going to, and then you didn't, so I did it.
I was scared.
But I was going to anyway. I was hoping you gave me enough of an excuse to do it. So instead, you picked This Ugly Yet Beautiful World, Episode 1, to look at from 2004. We're going to watch this every week if we love it. But if one of us says, no, I find this to be ugly all the way through, then we shall pick something else and watch that next week instead. Anthony, mm-hmm. You picked This Ugly Yet Beautiful World, so please give me and the audience and Bradley a brief synopsis of what happened in this episode.
Takaru is a lazy teenager. He's always getting nagged. He lives with his aunt and uncle and his cousin. They own a courier service. One day, him and his friend are discussing the perfect girlfriend for Takaru. He draws her up, he goes to drop his friend off at home, excuse me, and, while driving along on this little motorbike, they see a huge shooting star, or this crazy light that is flying around the sky, and it's a bit strange. They see it land in a forest, they decide to go and check it out. And it's actually a girl who looks remarkably like the sketch that his friend drew, and her name is Hikari. And this strange serpent, you know, this creature turns up basically and starts attacking them. Ro, Takaru's friend, crashes a motorbike into it, which I think is a pretty good move, if I must be honest. It turns back up, you know, it hasn't killed it. And... Takaru promises to protect Hikari from anything that's going to cause any pain to her. And Hikari gets snatched by the serpent. While doing this, she scratches Takaru's cheek, one on each side, and he transforms into Devil Man. basically. And they fight the thing. The thing gets away as Takaru realizes, what on earth am I doing? You know, this isn't like me. I'm being a bit of a dick here, killing this thing. And the thing goes after Hikari. And Hikari is not as innocent as she seems. She destroys it. And so we don't see this happen, but we assume she's pretty strong herself. And that's it. And I really enjoyed this. I feel like I've seen it before. I don't know whether I have. I think it's just one of those stories that I've seen before. But I really like this.
I have seen it before. Yeah, I really like the same bit I really liked the first time I saw this first episode. However, the bit I didn't like, I still didn't like, which is why we're not going to watch the second episode.
Oh.
And why I didn't watch the second episode the first time around either.
But you do like the transformation and him fighting as...
Yeah, that's great. That's but good. The lead up to that is, like, bog standard anime.
Yeah.
It is super average. It's like the mean of anime in 2004.
It's a shame, because I thought you were going to want to stick with this, and it probably wouldn't live up to the first episode with the action. I think it would get very predictable and samey, but you killed it.
I've killed it right off.
Have you seen this before, Bradley?
No. No, I haven't.
I think you would like it.
I don't know what that says about me. What do you think about it?
It doesn't sound like I'm giving you much credit the way we've just described it, but I don't know. It seems like something you would appreciate.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like anything I'd be interested in. It's also one of those series that have been easily available on DVD forever, and I've been conscious that it exists, but I never really knew much about it. And from your description of it, I can't think of any compelling reason to watch it. I have tons of other mediocre anime I'm actually interested in watching, so as we'll get to in the next segment.
And it's not the worst thing we've picked, just for the record.
Oh, no, it's not terrible. It's just
It's
just average, and I've now watched it twice.
And I may have watched it twice, but I don't know. I feel like I'm sure I've seen it.
In an ideal world, I'd be able to pick Mankatsu and we could watch that, but that's not available, which was like a collection of Monkey Punch shorts. So instead, I'm going to pick My Hime.
Oh.
Which shares some staff with a show we'll be talking about coming up in the next season.
Let's have a look. Okay. I'll make a mental note to watch this for next time.
That one I've seen a few episodes of and would like to finish one day.
It was popular at the time, I remember it being.
It was very popular at the time, both My Hime and the kind of sequel / deconstruction, My Otome. So,
I've actually seen this. I've seen the first maybe four episodes of this. I was forced to watch it at a friend's house. And, he liked it a bit too much. So I think that's what put me off. So this should be interesting.
I would be surprised if y'all last three episodes on it. But my sense of the series from what I've been told and from what I've seen is that it kind of gets better the deeper you go into even though it doesn't seem like it'd be that kind of series. That said, somebody's probably going to have their next anime ready after the first episode.
Yeah, well, as mentioned last week, we're just going to do this till the end of the year, and then we're going to replace Weekly Retro Recap with something else.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get really retro.
Mm.
Okay. Hipsters. Let's move on to what we thought of the summer anime. Oh, how are we going to do this? We should probably have arranged these into alphabetical order, but some people were late in writing notes and stuff, so I didn't want to talk to the document for a while. I was going to call them out, and you can say what you like. Old Noah.0, we'll start with.
I think was it just me that watched this in the end?
I watched the first episode of it, but you picked it, Anthony, so you tell us what you thought.
I'm not going to tell you what it was about because I don't remember, but all I can remember is just all the cast are alluding to something that's happened years and years ago. I don't know, it must be a war or something. And that's all they talk about. Something that they don't tell you where it was, but it's this event that is, you know, it's caused them to be where they are today. And it's all very serious, very talky, and just pretty boring, to be honest.
Wow, Anthony.
What? No, really. Something's really got to... I can deal with dialogue and talking, but it's... You know, even if they had loads of answers in episode two, there's just something not interesting at all to make me want to keep watching this. It got one episode out of me, I'm afraid.
You know, in the context of the first three episodes, which is kind of the story arc that those episodes cover. I really liked the story. The talking and everything, it just kind of gradually ramps up the tension to like a really high level. It was probably one of my favorites just for sheer thrills to watch. Because one of the central conceits of it, which you didn't get to because it doesn't show up until the second or third episode, is that the invading force... has super powerful robots, basically kind of like what if the bad guys were the ones with the Gundams, and the good guys, the people on Earth and the students, only had training mecha. How would they fight these super powerful mecha? How would they defeat them? Mm-hmm. So they have to use their brains. They have to kind of figure out what the weak spots on these incredibly powerful machines are. And that's interesting to watch. I really liked the first four episodes that I saw. There's a lot about it that's very familiar. Somebody on my Twitter feed, I think it was the guy who writes Ogui Maniacs, said that this anime is kind of like an orgy between Gundam and, Code Geass and a couple other, old mecha, highly political shows where, this baby came out and nobody knows who the father is. That's a pretty apt description. Like, its influences are obvious and it doesn't feel terribly fresh, but I thought it was very entertaining. And I also thought, that it was pretty well directed. Ie Aoki is kind of like just a really underrated director. He also did Fate Zero, and I think he doesn't get enough credit for how that show was such a entertaining series with great action set pieces. The thing is, I haven't finished it. I'm not sure I will, just because I've heard from people on Twitter that the later episodes get very frustrating.
Ooh, I was frustrated after 20 minutes.
So, I watched the first episode. I have no memories of anything which happened in the first episode.
Wow, okay.
And the only thing I can also say about it, I get very confused when I see people on Twitter talking about Slain, who apparently is a character in this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I don't care what he is. I care that I keep on thinking they're talking about the 2000 AD strip about druids kicking the shit out of each other, which would be a lot more entertaining.
That sounds good.
Oh.
Right, moving on. Gekkan Shoujo Nozaki-kun. This was a Bradley pick.
This was a Bradley pick, and it was a Bradley pick where Bradley said, Brian and Anthony, you need to see this as well, because not only did I really, really enjoy it, I thought that it was well-produced and funny and endearing, and heck, I was even thoroughly involved in the romantic aspects of a show that is largely dedicated to skewering traditional shoujo romance tropes. I thought all of y'all would enjoy it, and I've heard Brian's opinion. I haven't heard Anthony's mm-hmm. yet, so I'm curious. Did y'all like it? Did you not?
Anthony, did you like it? Did you watch it?
I did watch it. I did, going off Bradley's suggestion. And at times I found it quite amusing. And I mm-hmm. thought it was alright, and I quite like, you know, the main two characters, I quite like them, but I just couldn't see it getting much better than that. Much better mm-hmm. than episode one. I felt like it was going to repeat itself, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but when there's other stuff to watch.
Itself how?
I just felt like they were all going to go through the same journey of just them kind of discussing what they put in the manga, and then it would be this amusing little, like, story and just not go anywhere. I would like to think it did, because, as I say, I like the main two characters. They're all right. Does it go anywhere?
Well, I don't think it has to go anywhere. It's just a situational comedy. Almost a manner-based comedy. You don't really have to have an ongoing arc of a plot through these
kinds of things.
I think. But it isn't... The first episode is probably the slowest. After that, I think it both picks up in terms of how quickly the jokes come, in part because I think it's a series where, as much as I like the main characters... the characters' friends are highly entertaining and do a lot to bring a lot more energy to the show, because of the central gag of the relationship between the main characters basically means their relationship can't go anywhere, and poor old Sakura can only love Nozaki-kun in her head, which is a shame. She is incredibly fucking cute. But the rest of the... It riffs off of kind of shoujo tropes in ways that I thought were interesting and fun, and gosh, it's just a thoroughly enjoyable cartoon. Okay, Brian?
I thought it was funny, but it was a little too slow moving in that first episode for me. I was curious if the periods of longing are there in the webcomic, because the webcomic is a four-panel strip.
Mm-hmm.
I found a translation. I still can't tell, because the translation was so fucking bad.
For what it's so worth, again, like I'm also hooked into the romance aspect of the show, and I would like to see the relationships like develop and people actually go on dates instead of the good old pseudo comedy dates. But that's probably never going to happen.
Okay. Mind you, just before we go on, with that said, although, you know, I won't watch any more, had you not suggested me another show, I may have just watched Nozaki-kun. I may have continued watching it, but because of another show you suggested, I thought, no, I'd rather stick with that.
Yeah, and you didn't have much time either, to be fair to you.
I didn't. But I have managed to watch more than one of this other show that we'll get to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up, let's go with Sailor Moon.
Ooh.
I believe I said that this would
result. I believe the term is Sailor Moon Schnottenfree.
Oh, yes. Sailor Moon Crystal. That this would result in the gnashing and wailing of disappointed 20 to 39-year-olds. And I was right! Spot on! It was completely unnecessary. I only watched the first episode, so I can't even say it was terrible because I didn't even get to the terrible episodes. But I watched the first episode and I thought, why does this exist? Particularly on Nico Video, when you've just been running the original series streaming in Japan.
Oh my gosh. Here's the thing, I think that first episode was terrible, but people were only gradually realizing how terrible it was, because first it's the excitement, yes, more Sailor Moon! And then the despair sets in over a period of weeks. Oh man. I did not enjoy watching. One, I didn't enjoy watching the show, obviously. I only lasted 3 episodes. And 2, I didn't enjoy watching people's dreams crushed.
So the other thing
even
is...
Even though I kind of felt like it was going to happen, yeah.
The other thing is, running every other week, you also forget to watch it.
Yep.
So it's not even weekly?
No. It takes 2 weeks for them to make it look that bad.
It is clearly on an incredibly tight schedule. And even apparently like immensely talented animation directors struggle to get it to look even decent just because of how little time they have.
Right. And One Piece has looked pretty shitty as well, so I don't know where all these Toei animators have been working.
They're just too spread out. They're just way too spread out between like 8 shows at the moment, I think. It's crazy.
Okay, let's move on. Unless did you watch any Sailor Moon, Anthony?
No.
Okay, Les, you had Psychopaths. That was the remix when it was an hour long. Did you watch the hour long episodes?
I've got a confession to make. I was going to, and then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to watch the original series instead because it's something I never got around to finishing. I completely loved what I'd saw. It even made one of the best shows for me last year. I didn't even finish the bloody thing.
And it's on Netflix now.
It's on Netflix
and it
now.
It comes up in the crime section.
As
I've
it
been
should.
Watching loads of detective shows. I scroll through and it goes, oh, Psychopaths.
Well, it is a detective show. It is.
It is. But I'm impressed with Netflix's tagging and how it matches things up.
It knows. With admittedly said, I have still not finished it. I'm towards the end. I know, I'm sorry, Bradley, I know.
The thing is that it's a series that I feel really only completes itself at the ending, if that makes sense. I was not sold on Psychopaths until I saw the ending. Just, it becomes a much better show in the process of finishing up.
Well, I love it at the moment, so after this episode's done, I'm going to watch a few more, and hopefully get it finished in time for season 2.
Better watch those dog animes as well, though.
Oh, for what's that one called again? Gin.
Yeah, Silver Fang or whatever.
Yeah. I know. Stuff.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to another one from Bradley's list, Prisma Ilia.
Ugh. So here's the thing. The series has always had both a creepy undertone and moments of creepiness. But in the first season, there was kind of enough of a balance between that and just generally badass action or decent comedy that I didn't stop watching, and I largely enjoyed the show. This season, the creep level was turned up immensely. even by the standards of the manga, it kind of lingers on pornographic shots of like 2 underage girls kissing for an extended period of time. It's just gross.
You'll be looking forward to the new category I'm introducing for our year end episode, which is the thing which made you feel most embarrassed to be an anime fan.
That will be up there. That and Blue Blazes, but in a very different way. But yeah, God, I like badass action magical girl shows, but increasingly, my philosophy is becoming, was this made for 6-year-old girls? If yes, watch. If not, report it to the police.
Okay, let's move on to something a bit more positive, things we can say all have good feelings about, and that's Space Dandy Season 2. This was even better than last time. And yes. I don't think it could be better this year. And I'm going to say, I think it might be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't think. Prove me wrong, anime industry, that you can make a series like this again. Prove me wrong, but I think this will be a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
It is so witty. It is so, it feels so fresh. It feels so different. It's doing new and interesting things. It has fantastic animation throughout. It is totally engaging. And I've adored it. Especially, there has been kind of a shift into just pushing the Space Dandy anthology into just increasingly weird ways that still can be like emotionally resonant, for instance. There's that one where Dandy dies and he's on the
Limbo
what
planet.
Do they call it? Limbo planet. And he basically ends up falling in love with an embodiment of the planet. And I remember initially being skeptical because the character design looks really young. But it's played in such a way that I thought it was incredibly sweet. So even when I think Space Dandy is finally going to screw up, it doesn't. It's just a damn good show. You've got to watch this. If you are an anime fan or just a fan of storytelling, you have to see this.
And as we're going to do an episode about it in a few weeks, me and Anthony will say our piece there, I think.
Hold it in.
Hold it in, because it'll be the explosion of...
I just want to say, I love season one, obviously. And to think this makes season one look...
blander, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and that's hard to say, but it does. It's leaps and heads and shoulders above season one, and season one is still bloody good.
I'm not sure of the names of all the people who worked on this, but I do know that there was a highly varied staff for this, right? They were constantly getting in new directors to handle different episodes. There was a group of writers that they used. I know one person largely wrote most of this season, but I think there were also a couple others.
Yes, Kimiko Ueno is the main writer. I think she's done the most episodes. Okay. Across both seasons.
But it kind of feels like almost an anthology of incredibly talented staff in the anime industry that shows just how ridiculously talented this industry is.
And the thing is, I could think of people who you could get to do another 13 episodes who haven't been in it yet.
Yeah. Well, I think I heard a rumor on Twitter, maybe it was just a wish, that there might be another season next year. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
If Toonami, and I think the Toonami things helped as well, and I wonder if that might help them get another series if they wanted to do another series of this, or maybe another series of something completely different.
Could be.
Right, let's move back to Anthony's list with Sword Art Online 2.
Right, as we all know, I was extremely excited for this, I'm going to be honest. I think I watched around 2 or 3 episodes of this season. And I think that was enough for me, at least at this point in time. At this juncture, I feel that's me done for now. I felt they were dragging their feet far too much with the story. Basically, something happens in this game. They ask Kirito to go in and help. He doesn't want to do it. And it's just 3 episodes of him saying, I don't really want to do it. So I was like, yeah, right, just... go in the world and become your female counterpart, because that's, as we know, what happens. And I was
no, they very actually chickened out of that. I hear that the anime adaptation chickened out of that. So he
really?
Looks like a girl, but he's still a guy. That's it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, either way, it is the kind of thing I may well go back to in the future because of the love for the first series. But as it stands at the moment, I was very disappointed. Yeah.
I watched the first episode.
You loved it, didn't you?
I did quite like the first episode. That may have had something to do with the fact that the main character's barely in it.
See, that's one of the things that annoy me, because I like the main character.
Instead, we just have Death Gun.
Death Gun. Scary, scary man. But no, it's a shame. But if it didn't drag its feet, it would probably be fine and definitely watchable. But instead, you know, take your time and I'll fall off.
And he also did have loads of characters complaining that they'd changed the rules of the game they were in, and so the way they'd staffed their character didn't work very well anymore.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's actually a funny twist.
It is. Well, that's very true to actual online gaming.
Mm.
You should get those people and those things happening. Okay, moving on to another pick from Bradley, Encouragement of Climb.
So this was odd. Crunchyroll announced the series, aired the first episode, and then never aired another episode. I have no idea what happened. Maybe there was some kind of a hang-up with the rights to the opening, which wasn't in the first episode. And which, by the way, Google that opening, Encouragement of Climb opening for the second season. It has a really neat visual conceit. It just looks great. I don't know if this is a thing in Britain, but do y'all have voice caps?
Yes, we started it here.
You started here? Okay. All right.
Voice what?
Boy Scouts, not Voice Scouts.
Boy Scouts. Okay, so you know the how their badges look, right? There's a particular visual aesthetic to that that you recognize immediately as, oh yes, that belongs to the Boy Scout kind of look.
Mm.
Well, that's kind of the visual aesthetic of the opening, and it's pretty neat to look at. And it also has a lot of like plaid, and it's just a pretty cool opening. I really liked how it looked. I kind of would like to see more, but I probably will never get around to it. It has been fan-subbed, and that's probably the only way I'm going to see it at this point, because not another episode was legally streamed.
Strange. A little bit strange.
It is, and it's the kind of series, really, where you want to watch it week to week. It doesn't do as well if you sit and watch it from end to end, you know. Just something to break up and kind of heal, as they might say, the wounds of the week, take the edge off. I don't know. Anyway, next.
Okay, next on my list was Tokyo ESP, which didn't stream in the UK, so I've not really watched it.
No.
I did watch the first episode, which is a terrible first episode.
Very confusing, isn't it?
It is. It's really the penultimate episode, I think, of the series, as far as I can tell. It's the lead in to the finale of the first main storyline in the comic. And the second episode is a really great first episode. But that's all I've watched. I did enjoy the second episode a lot.
Is it called Tokyo ESP or
it
Tokyo
is.
ESP?
No, Tokyo ESP.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. As in extrasensory perception.
Oh.
As in X-Men, but not actually X-Men.
Yeah. A popular thing in the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
I thought it was bland. I got in, like, I think 4 episodes, and I thought it was largely generic. Nothing I particularly didn't like about it, but nothing that really stood out, and I had plenty of other stuff to watch this season, so it got dropped.
It does like the X-Men. It really
you know,
does
it's like- not even the X-Men comparisons that gets to me, you know? It's just,
It has a character called Wolverine, so there's...
I didn't realize it was that literal.
Her dad. He's in the second
her
episode.
Her dad is called Wolverine? I don't remember her.
Yeah, her dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her dad looks like Wolverine. He's called Wolverine. Has Magneto's powers.
I've just googled him. He's got like 3 rods of metal between his fingers. At one point.
And she's got Kitty Pryde's powers.
This show sounds pretty good. You know, I'm looking at pictures. This looks all right.
Like you might enjoy it, Anthony.
Yeah, I hear the execution is a bit variable through the series.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like
and
a nice
it also
note.
Doesn't help that for whatever reason they gratuitously added, I wonder if this was the director who did this, characters from an entirely different anime that I'm not even sure if it's related, and they featured prominently in the first few minutes of Tokyo ESP.
Oh.
If you hadn't seen that other anime, you would have been terribly fucking confused.
It's the same author, as well, I think the comic
It's
is.
The same author. Yeah. So does it take place in the same universe?
I think it it's might like, do, yeah. There's also characters from, in that first episode, characters from the second arc.
Okay, that's weird to me because I seem to remember that the characters in that other anime, their powers came from something entirely different.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where that clarifies nothing. Yeah. And I think they also did the open mid-story and go backwards because the other anime did that as well.
The other anime had did that, but I think it did a much better job with it.
Oh yeah, because I think it was designed to. I think this was doing it just because it was expected.
Hmm.
For whatever reason.
Perhaps.
It was a bad idea.
I don't think that was its flaw, personally. I thought that was... Once I could kind of figure out that this is where the anime is heading, I thought it was a decently engaging opening, if incredibly confusing.
Yeah, I think it was...
I want to wait to get there, honestly.
I think it was a tease for people who already read the comic. It was like, we get into the
action. It's really cool that basically this psychic guy takes the capital of Japan, the capital building, and lifts it up in the air, and now it's a floating island that our heroes have to get to register, to rescue the legislatures inside. I don't know if that's a thing the X-Men comics have ever done, but that's just a really cool conceit.
Okay, moving on to Tokyo Ghoul. Anthony's pick.
Was it just me? Oh, I'm sorry.
I think we all picked it as well. But...
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll set this. Right. I thought this was going to be a hell of a lot better than what it turned out to be. It's not a terrible show. And I quite like the idea. I've always been a fan of, you know, someone kind of trying to overcome their hunger of being a vampire or a, you know, a cannibal, whatever else. It always works well. But the main character in this is such a whiner. And that just annoyed me. And I was just very disappointed. I could see exactly where it was going to go. I don't particularly like the crazy powers that they gave the demons. Maybe it makes more sense later on, but I'd prefer, you know, something a bit different. Something not as silly, perhaps a little bit more realistic and less whiny. It's too much, too much.
Silly?
It's silly.
I didn't think it was silly.
Oh, I think it is. It's just the powers.
I think it could have used some silly.
That's what I was saying. I like
counteract
silly.
The gravitas of the whole thing. Just,
perhaps yeah. Humor would have been good, but no, mm-hmm. I like the idea of someone, you know, starving for blood and all that jazz in vampire films, but which they did in the first episode pretty well. But it's the next episode, I just really fell off. I wanted it to be better than where it was, and unfortunately it wasn't. So I'm not watching anymore.
How about you, Bradley?
I didn't think much of the first episode and didn't watch anymore after that. I've heard the anime moves really quickly, so maybe it's worth watching more of, but I'm not going to at the moment.
See, I like the first episode, but it was the rest.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the general premise of it, which is basically secret monsters somewhere in the city and the people who fight them or are them, it needs a bigger shot in the arm than what the first episode of Tokyo Ghoul gave it.
Yeah, I thought
it just didn't feel at all fresh.
I thought it looked fine, but the mm-hmm. direction was fine, but the show mm-hmm. didn't deserve the direction it had.
Didn't the director win an Academy Award?
He was nominated.
Nominated.
For whichever short he did out of Short Piece.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's fair. Yeah, I was very disappointed. I've got a friend who went and read all the manga after this as well.
Sorry to do this. Was he the one who did the one about the firefighters in medieval Japan?
I have no idea. I've not seen the one that was nominated.
Anyway.
Okay, moving on to the next one. Barakamon, which was a Bradley pick, and he made us watch it as well. Forster's at Twitter point.
Did we have a Twitter fight? I don't remember.
No, a Twitter point would say you tweeted us to watch.
Oh, okay. I didn't quite hear that, sorry. Yeah, I loved this. It is a really endearing show, in no small part because of Naru, who is the kid in the show. By the way, when I gave my description of the premise of this cartoon in the preview, I was completely off base about what this was about and kind of what the main character's relationship to the girl was. Naru is not his daughter, and I don't think they ever really get to a surrogate father child relationship either. He's just this weird dude who lives on this island with weird people, and he tries to reinvigorate and reinvent himself as an artist on this island while also learning about the charms of rural Japan and rural life in general. And it's just a very, very well-directed, very good-looking cartoon that is probably the closest we're ever going to come to a Yotsuba anime adaptation. Naru, much like Yotsuba, is just a very energetic and charming child who just kind of is the center of the show in a way. And when she's not there, the show kind of doesn't feel as interesting, even though I think there are plenty of other good characters in the show. And in general, while I think the story arc of it is fairly predictable, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, Anthony, what do you think?
This was my replacement for Nozaki-kun. I mm-hmm. really like this. I really, really mm-hmm. like this, actually. Any show that starts with someone throwing ink and paint around is a winner in my books.
I love seeing an epic punch.
Exactly. I love seeing, like in Flowers of Evil, when they're throwing the paint around, I love seeing that getting animated. I don't know why. Whether it's good or bad, it always looks cool. But yeah, I would agree. It's endearing. The characters, especially the little girl, she's lovely. Even the main character, he's great.
Naru, by the way, is actually voiced by an actual child, which lends her a lot of authenticity.
Yeah.
And kind of helps remove it from the fetishization of children that Moe often falls into. She doesn't feel Moe to me. Not as in I don't feel Moe for her, but as in it feels like the intent of this character is to go out of their way to avoid the Moe tropes.
I like it a lot, actually. I was very surprised, very surprised. It's not normally the kind of thing. I would read the synopsis for this and think, that just really does not appeal to me. But, you know, it works. I've watched 2 episodes, which is more than I lasted for other stuff. So.
And you were planning to watch more?
Yeah. I want to say, I'm pleased you suggested, because I wouldn't have watched it otherwise. Good stuff.
I thought it was well made, but I am burnt out on shows and films where somebody from the city moves to the country mm-hmm. and the inherent goodness of the country make them a better person.
I love that.
It is kind of a tired premise. Like, I am kind of with that. I am kind of with Brian on that, but I think there's a lot about this show that redeems it.
That is what Hot Fuzz is parodying. That idea. Yeah. It turns
That's
out.
A good movie.
I think it may also have something to do with coming from a rural area, but I know that's a load mm-hmm. of bullshit.
I've lived in fairly rural areas in America, and I can still kind of see the charm of that bullshit, even though I know it's bullshit. But a lot of things are bullshit.
That is true. Okay, moving on to something which is also bullshit. Terror and Resonance.
Oh, hold on a second here. Stop right there. Go on then, Brian.
I want Brian to unleash on this.
It looks great. I'll give it that. But I watched the first episode of it and I was like, I'm pretty sure I've seen all this done before. I really don't need to see it done again, even if it looks better than it has ever done before.
One episode's not enough.
It is.
I usually think it is, but you should watch more of this.
I've only got so much time in the day, Anthony.
I agree,
to watch teenage terrorists with Sentai masks goofing around on cameras. Mm-hmm. And they haven't even got a character called Seven, so you can't make the 789 joke.
No, wait, actually. That's
no, it's five is the other one.
Yeah.
There is more characters turned up with numbers. Spoilers.
I see on Twitter that people think it's gone off the rails.
Oh, I have no idea where it's going as a show. I don't know. Initially, it started as this pretty realistic, gritty, you know, people blowing stuff up kind of message. And then they're bringing in these new characters. It's obviously something to do with their past, something they've been all had done to them that's making them want to do this, but I have no idea what's going to happen.
It is generic in really bothersome ways. So, for instance, the boys are incredibly pretty in this.
That is one
and
of my
they have, and what? There's this clumsy heroine of sorts.
And the, we should also note the boys, there's one moody one and one unbearably perky one.
Yeah,
and the
yeah,
reason they're
exactly.
both, one's moody and one's perky, is the same sort of dark thing in their background. They're dealing with it in different ways.
Yeah, you know what? It feels, the way I would describe Terror in Resonance is that it's a very detailed show, but it's not a terribly thoughtful one. And I think that's kind of its downfall, because there is a weird dissonance in having your, who eventually kind of become their heroes, because they're terrorists, right? These cute boys are terrorists. But they don't kill anyone. They only destroy property, so it's totally okay to blow up shopping malls in a way that visually is reminiscent of 9/11, because eventually a much bigger baddie comes in and starts dicking around and making things a lot worse. And I think that's a really problematic way to handle that story. And it kind of... You know, when the producer of the show came to Otakon, he described it as a very dangerous show, and he... I think that's overstating it. It feels toothless at times, and I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it. It's so well produced, and at times I still find myself, despite how bothersome I find it, to be totally engrossed in the story. Perhaps because it is so well produced. The first 5 minutes of the first episode, by the way, goddamn gorgeous. What an opening. But I don't know, man. Anthony, defend it.
Oh, I love it. I think it's everything that I want. It's, I love all the characters. I say that, but I do criticize it the same way you do. The two pretty boys and the heroine, they're quite annoying. But all
and
the
it's not
cops,
clear to me what the girl is doing yet. That's probably the thing that bothers me the most. Is it's not clear
she
what her
even know.
Role is, and she feels almost self-inserted. But surely they have more for her than just that.
I don't even know.
I've only seen four episodes. I've only seen four episodes, so.
Yeah, I've seen this new character that comes into it, and basically they put a bomb out. They plan on it not going off at all, but this character turns up and has it go off. So obviously people have died now, but I really like it. I think it's, I love the whole riddle that, you know, they basically release a video, there's a riddle or a
an extended
puzzle.
Series of riddles, all relating to Oedipus Rex. Jeez.
It's good. I like that, and seeing these detectives.
Yeah,
like,
I kind of like finding out all kinds of Oedipus Rex trivia. I do.
But I can see why people would dislike it, but for me it seems like the kind of show I'd watch. And that's why I will definitely stick with this. But okay. No idea what's going to happen. No idea.
Right, Brad, Anthony's list, so we're just on to Bradley and me now.
Is that all I watched? No.
Hana Yamata.
This is mine, and I think only mine, because it's one of those cute girl healing shows that nobody else on this podcast would ever watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it, though.
Are you fully healed?
You know what? It's, it helps. Despite how kind of bland the premise is, I think this is an example of a series that really works because, the director is really, really good at visuals. Her name is Atsuko Ishizuka, and she just makes really good use of colors throughout the series. So it looks very cute. It also looks very pretty. Flowers are kind of a constant theme, visual motif in the series. Each character kind of has their own flower, and they pop out throughout. It's a largely sweet but not very creepy Yuri story underneath it all as well. And gosh, I just enjoyed it.
Okay, next on my list is Super Radical Gag Family, which was not subtitled at all, either legally or illegally.
Hmm.
But it does stream on Nico Video, if you can use a Japan VPN. The first four episodes are perfectly understandable without subs. The next few, I would have liked some subs, but the last couple seem to get back to most of the gags being physical, so you can enjoy it. They're only 2 minutes long as well, so. But yeah, that's my biggest disappointment of the year so far, is that no one's subbing those new Super Radical Gag Families, because there's a lot of great animation across the 22 minutes of animation there's been so far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to the next Bradley one. That one's done, that one's done, that one's done. Sajiburu.
Yeah, you have strong feelings about this too. So, well, I wouldn't say I have strong feelings about it. Look, cute girls being total assholes is just fun. That's a rule in anime. It's why the best episodes of Chiji Sharat and some other OVAs that I've seen. And it's kind of... It looks super generic, but I think it kind of utilizes how generic it looks as a counterpoint to how incredibly violent and stupid and mean this group of survival game girls are to each other and just to people in general. And it's clever at times, though I think it a lot of the humor may rely too heavily on, look at how mean these cute girls are being. But I've enjoyed it as kind of a once-a-week thing. I don't know if I'm going to finish it, though, because it might wear on me trying to finish the four or so episodes I have left on in one sitting. So, yep. Brian, why did you hate this?
I don't hate it. Everyone was tweeting about it who I follow. Not everyone. Oh, okay. Enough people were, so I figured I'd watch an episode of it. And I like the idea, but I thought the execution was just not my thing.
It's a pretty bland anime production-wise, I think. But again, that almost fits into what it's trying to do. By the way, did you know that the original manga for this is drawn in a much more traditional shoujo style? Even though it's the same gag, basically. But for the anime, they changed the character designs into something more familiar, kind of by shoujo, cute girl kind of thing. Which I thought was an interesting twist.
Yeah, not a good one. I'd have done it strictly as a show, because it would work better if you did it more like a shoujo.
Really? Why? Why do you think so?
I think the dissonance is larger.
It feels like it would be just as large to me, but I don't know. I probably have to read the manga to find out.
Yeah. At least from what we said, but I'm looking at pictures and it doesn't look that much like traditional shoujo manga to me, so... Maybe my idea of traditional
ribbon,
shoujo manga is slightly different to yours.
Perhaps. Yours might be older than mine.
Yeah.
Doesn't it run in ribbon, by the way?
I have no idea. I watched one episode. That's the point at which I ceased caring about this.
Okay, alright, let's move on.
Talking of things I watched one episode and ceased caring about, I watched one episode of Majimojo Ruromo, which people said was pretty bad. It wasn't as bad as they said, but not good enough for me to watch anymore. It's a show about a guy who has a book which lets him summon a witch to do things for him, but each time he uses one of the tickets out of the book, it reduces his lifespan. It's based on a comic by the same person who did Yaomushi Pedal.
Oh, okay.
The best bits are that the lead is like a 1980s shonen comedy lead rather than a 2000s one, in that he's actively interested in girls. And the Yaomushi Pedal guy can really design characters. He's really good at that.
These are nice character designs, but the girls look really young in this.
Yeah, the main character, the main witch is, yes.
Okay.
She does look really young. But she's a witch, so therefore the excuse is that she's hundreds of years old or something.
Yeah, tell that to the police.
Yes. But yeah, it's not worth watching anymore, but it's nowhere near as bad as people say.
It's one of those anime that I just am ambiently aware of, as in it keeps showing up on my Twitter feed. Like, there was a big bag of it, I think. Like, an actual bag that you could hold all the porn comics you bought at Comic-Con in. And they also had, like, some kind of an anti-piracy campaign that featured the characters. Anyway.
Blimey.
I haven't seen a minute of it, though.
I may have more anime on my list than Bradley did.
So oh,
let
wow.
me plow through this before we get to the live-action thing. Nobunaga Concerto. Lewis suggested watching this. I've watched half an episode. It's rotoscoping again. Like your favorite.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
But unlike that, they make the wise move of not rotoscoping faces.
Silly.
And then try to make human faces look like anime characters. But instead, they just give them the faces out of the comic, which then has the effect of making them look like puppets.
Oh, it does.
There's a live action version they're making. That seems like a much better idea. But the comic is, the story is about a kid who time slips back in time, who looks exactly like Nobunaga, and Nobunaga doesn't want to do all the things Nobunaga's supposed to do, so he convinces this kid from modern day to take his place. So it's like a time, Prisoner of Zenda, but with no imprisoning going on.
It ain't no Flowers of Evil.
I got as far with both of them and stopped for both rotoscoping reasons, but for different reasons. I watched the first episode of Free Season 2. Oh, you had this on your list. I missed a scroll over it.
Oh, I did have it on my list, and I also watched the first episode. Did you watch the first season by any chance?
I didn't, know. I just dove straight in, pun intended.
Okay, good job, Brian. Ignoring that, I only watched the first episode because it felt like it was heading in the direction of being a retread of the first season, because some of the characters had basically grown up, and they weren't the jerks that they used to be. They have a better understanding of each other, and they introduce a new character who seems like an earlier version of one of the other characters, basically that they would retread some of the same conflicts. I've heard, however, that the series gets really, really good later on. I don't know.
I thought some of the jokes were good. It's obviously well made, but ping pong exists.
Yeah. Like, oh, it is super well made. I love how it looks, how it moves.
I thought the joke of the their attempt to encourage people to join their club at the start of school was a ridiculously funny joke.
Yeah, that was a very good joke. Yeah, the Free in general just has a really good sense of comic timing. I kind of would like to follow up on the second season sometime. I don't know.
I watched the first episode of Akame ga Kill, again a Lewis suggestion. It had the effect of making me want to watch Sorcerer Hunters, which I'm sure nobody wanted that to be the result. Either me, the makers of Akame ga Kill, or possibly even the makers of Sorcerer Hunters.
What's Akame ga Kill about? I see it popping up on Twitter, and I've never really...
It's nihilistic.
Can I handle this one?
It's nihilistic fantasy bollocks.
So, Daryl Surratt does his greatest violence in anime panel. I forget the exact term for it at the moment. But he featured Akame ga Kill in it at Otakon this year. But he edited it slightly, as in, so there's a moment where the main character is told, you have to kill your friend. And in the anime, there is an extended sequence where he says, I don't want to do that. No, that's wrong. In Daryl's edit, he cuts those 10 minutes or so that he spends protesting, and the way that it plays in the clip is basically, you have to kill your friend. Okay, bam. And it is, yeah, from what I've heard, it's very nihilistic and blech.
And then my last animated one, at least of the new stuff, was sort of new, the US dub of Doraemon. Which I finally felt like a great hole in my anime experience had been filled watching that.
I wish I had. This is the cable for this. The cable channel that this is on is a channel I don't own, so I haven't seen it yet. Is it using, what year is the footage from?
It's various episodes from the 2005 series. So some stuff's from 2005, some stuff's much later.
Okay.
The first episode, unfortunately, is a half-hour episode cut down to a quarter of an hour, and then another quarter of an hour episode put in. So the introductory one isn't great, but when it's just a quarter of an hour transferred to a quarter of an hour, it's pretty good. And I think the format is near perfect, a TV format and a comic format. As anyone's
I've always known about Doraemon, but I've never seen anything... any anime about him either. So I would like to watch this sometime.
And
just
what,
can't legally at the moment.
No. That's why I had to watch it illegally.
yeah, but you have an excuse.
I don't know. It may well be airing on air at Disney XD as well, in which case I haven't got an excuse. But yeah, and it also made me realize how much Eurosight Zero owes to it. In terms of just having episodes where a character introduces a gadget and then they mess around with that gadget terribly for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, didn't you tweet something like, oh, so Eurosight Yatsura is basically, what if Dorymon was a hot girl I wanted to fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is about right. I got spot on.
Oh.
I think it's the woman who does lots of the female voices on South Park is the voice of Doraemon.
Yeah, so the dub's pretty good, I guess?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, that's good. I wish it was kind of more widely distributed. I often bemoan how, because anime fans can be such pricks about this, there aren't more anime available in the U.S. that is edited and available for children in the U.S., you know?
And ongoings, I watched One Piece, the Hunter x Hunter election arc. I haven't watched the last few episodes of that. And Captain Earth.
Did you just jump into the election arc?
I did, yeah, because in the comic, when it was not on hiatus, as it is again, there was a reference to something, and I wanted to go back and check that arc out. And as that happened to be airing at the time, had just started, I thought, oh, let's go and watch that. I can see whether the thing this character has said holds true with what's happened previously.
Okay. So you're familiar with the Hunter x Hunter story already?
Yes.
Careful where we're going here, gentlemen.
See, I've just jumped straight in when it started running Weekly Shonen Jump again. And if I didn't understand anything, that's what the internet's there for.
That's true. I mean, I've watched a few episodes of the Chimera Ant arc, which is really powerful, so I'd like to eventually finish it. Not really relevant to our discussion right now, but gosh. Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see this finished.
One day.
Just never. Not in manga form, not in anime form.
There has been 10 chapters of content beyond what they've adapted in the anime.
You know what really boggles my mind is when they started adapting this anime a couple years ago, the manga had just started up again, and they did the elections arc. The elections arc has about, what, 13 episodes worth of content? And it finished, and then it went on an extended hiatus, during which the anime completely caught up, and it's now out of material again, because the next arc only has a few chapters added to it.
Well, I have suggested that they ought to do Yu Yu Hakusho Crystal to fill in the time.
See, that'd be fine. I would totally... totally like that.
Readapt Yu Yu Hakusho fortnightly with bigger foreheads. And, yeah, Captain Earth was great, by the way. Despite what the haters say, I liked it all the way through.
Nobody seems to know what to make of it except for you, Brian.
I know. And the final thing, which I started watching, I'm about 4 episodes in, and that is Blue Blazes. A live-action... adaption of a sort of autobiographical comic.
Right, and listeners may be wondering if they haven't heard of this yet, so why are you talking about a live-action Japanese drama? What does that have to do with anime? Well, it's basically a semi-autobiographical story about otaku of both anime and manga in the 1980s. And it features a lot of characters who are, they feel almost godlike at times, especially the way they handle, Ono, the director of Evangelion. But basically it features a bunch of future staffers and stars and the people who make the anime and manga we like today.
Yeah, it's like the main characters
of them when they were kids.
The main characters are a fictionalized version of the author, but most of the supporting cast are real people from the anime and manga industry.
And the main character is a spot-on, I don't know if I want to say parody, maybe there's another word that I'm looking for here, but a kind of representation, exaggerated representation of a certain kind of really freaking obnoxious nerd. And while I really enjoy the show, he's the main obstacle for me ever finishing this because he hits too close to home.
Do you have really exaggerated reactions to things? I find myself, when I watch this, my facial expressions become more exaggerated after watching it.
So, yeah, it looks really animated. It's And it's just fun to watch visually. Gosh, no, I don't. It's more the way that he is incredibly arrogant about everything because he has only a little bit of knowledge about something. So he thinks he has everything figured out. He kind of exploits from there. He's like, oh yeah, I've got it. That is definitely something I at least used to do. And I try not to do that as much.
Yeah, he has sort of decided that he's great. He's going to be great.
Yes.
But he doesn't quite know exactly what he's going to be great at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which flips episode by episode. Sometimes he's going to be the greatest animator. Sometimes he's going to be the greatest manga artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then things which would seem like an obstacle, he'll reinterpret in his head as those people just can't see the big picture like I can.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But then he's got all this sitcom stuff with like the founders of the Gainax being goofs and...
Yeah.
You think, is this unfair to Anno? And then you see other representations, like in his wife's comic about their marriage, and you think, no, I think we could corroborate from various things that this is probably exactly how he's like.
Yeah, and I actually think Anno comes off looking awesome here. He's actually the kind of nerd that I think is pretty cool to hang around. Even though he doesn't, clearly he doesn't like people, and clearly he is obsessed with his, Ultraman and Tokusatsu and anime to the point where he doesn't seem to be able to relate to another human being anymore, which is nuts. Oh, by the way, the producer guy in Gainax, that's based on a real person, right?
Yeah, that is him.
Is he supposed to come off as horrible as he does in this show? Like, is he like some kind of a villain that I wasn't aware of in the history of Gainax?
I don't know if he was a villain, but he does come across a little harsh too. Particularly in the second episode when Anno falls and bonks his head on the door. And he seems more concerned that he might have dented the door than Anno hurting his head.
There's that. There's also all the times he looks at all the talented people around him and he says, these people are my meal tickets. I have to take care of them. I have to ride their coattails to fame and glory and money.
Well, yeah, because he's the one who's realized what he can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he realizes I'll make the best use of these people who can do the things I can't do.
I mean, that's one way to interpret it, but the tone that I caught was something much more cynical.
Oh, yes. I think he's supposed to get that tone as well.
Okay.
I think he is supposed to come off a little slimy.
Yeah.
I say that thing in episode two where when he hits the... hits the door with his head, that he's rubbing the door rather than Anno's head.
One more thing before we move on. What did you make of the love triangle in this? Because always stops when it's on that for me.
Oh, I think that's supposed to deliberately match the sort of 80s comics that they're talking about.
I agree with that. I just don't think it's engaging at all. And I don't know where it's going. And I keep expecting it to be subverted or just taken somewhere remotely interesting. And I don't buy it. I don't buy the romance. I don't get it, I guess.
I think it's fine. The hairdo that, what's her name's got is quite fantastic.
The girl with the long hair, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
because
the ridiculously manga haircut she's been given.
She does have, yeah. And that definitely works in live action in a way that it couldn't. Yeah.
But yeah, the gag when he thinks she's close to him, thinking she's about to kiss him, but it's just because she's short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's... But yeah, I think in, because they're always talking about, what's the gut touch? The touch creator's name? Guys, left me now. And Rumiko Takahashi.
Adaichi, yeah.
Yeah. Their comics. I think that's specifically what it's supposed to represent. Particularly the way that he's leading one on, and the other one that he's interested in isn't interested in him.
I guess. I actually really like Adaichi. By the way, did you see this news article the other day where it turns out Adaichi can't tell the difference between his characters?
I did,
either?
Yes.
That's hilarious. Oh, anyway.
Okay, moving on to the autumn. Let's go with our picks. So I'm going to name something, and then Bradley can, and then Anthony can. Let's go that way. Okay, my first pick was Cross Ange. I'm going to pronounce it like that because that's a short and Angela. Cross Ange. don't know whether it is short for Angela or not.
I don't think so in this case.
This is a show where women in skimpy clothes and skimpy robots fight dragons.
Mm-hmm.
I am mainly interested because Yoshiharu Oshino has finally left Studio 4 Degrees C. He did Tweeny Witches, which is a show I liked back in the day. It is another one of these shows where everything has a different designer. So there's a mecha designer, maybe multiple mecha designers. There's a dragon designer. Mm-hmm. There's original character concept designer. Then the character designer for the actual show. There's
then
somebody else designing
the
costumes.
For the characters. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's a mess. Visually, it's a mess. Nothing seems coherent. And I hate the suits. I thoroughly hate how the suits look with a passion. But because the people from Seed are involved, just the staff in general gives me the vibe that this is either going to be amazing or amazingly terrible. It's going to fall in one of these two extremes. There will be no in between.
Okay. Any thoughts, Anthony? Was this on your radar?
It nearly made the list, and then I watched a trailer of it, and the dragons look fine, but it's, I guess as Bradley says, the outfits are very, a lot of TNA going on. Not maybe.
It's good. Not even the TNA that bothers me. It's how it is a bizarre design, right? With a tail that comes out, and they have this face mask that has a bar that runs across the face and just doesn't look right. Yeah. Nothing about it looks right. It's just weird. It's almost like various random parts of other costumes were slapped together to create this one.
Yeah, this is the show which has got various Mayhime, Gear Fighter Dendo, Gundam Seed people involved in it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, next on the list is Garou Hono no Kokuin, which is a Garou anime. Garou is a tokusatsu show where armored knights and priests fight monsters called horrors, and it's aimed at adults rather than kids, those shows are. And it is written by Yasuko Kobayashi, who wrote the JoJo's adaptation, the Attack on Titan Ooh. Adaptation, the current Sentai show airing Tokka, various Kamen Riders like Deno. And it's directed by Yuichiro Hayashi, who did that PES advert, which was another
PES
studio.
Being, is that Pro Evo?
No.
Oh, okay. Right.
It was a Toyota car, I think.
Oh, I see. This nearly made my list as well, but I don't know. I don't know why I didn't. I feel that I'll decide when I hear what you say about it, Brian. That will dictate if I watch it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Just it looks
How
good.
How much of the live action series have you seen?
I've seen a chunk of the last but one, and I've got I've got most of the current one sitting on my hard drive because of the. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those shows I've been meaning to get around to. Maybe this will be my entryway to that series. I hear it oscillates greatly between being really good and really shit. But
This apparently has no connections to any of the live actions beyond having a Garou in it.
Okay.
Next up is Gundam Gino Reconquista. Where space cadets defend a space elevator against space pirates using their space robots.
Yay.
I was cynical to begin with, but I saw the picture of the robot cockpit with the toilet built into yes. it. And I was on board.
So I had the same arc, you know? I thought, oh god, Tamino. All of my favorite Gundam things had nothing to do with Tamino. And over time, the more promotional material for this I've seen and the more trailers, I'm sold on this. I'm looking forward to this. It is much goofier than I would have expected, for another Tamino show or the Tamino take on Gundam. So, ooh, this might be good.
Any opinion, Anthony?
I've seen two Gundam shows this season and both of them didn't even watch a trailer for them. I've been burned too many times with what was that other Gundam show? I can't remember. I watched a bit of it last time, and no more Gundam for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that other Gundam
show. Have you seen, Anthony?
I've seen a big chunk of Wing, which I quite like, but what was the one that was recent?
Build Fighters?
Age. Oh, yeah, everyone was... Age. Exactly, I don't know. it'll take a very, very, very good Gundam
now.
Show.
I think it got a bad reputation that it doesn't really deserve, but whatever.
Well, good news is, Anthony, at some point next year, I'm going to make you watch a load of Gundam, so.
That's fine, because I would like to think it's the good Gundam stuff, because people are a bit too crazy for Gundam for my liking. There's a lot of shite.
And the nice thing, Anthony, is that most of the best of Gundam are series that are 13 episodes or less. So
that is perfect. Well, that's acceptable. Maybe not perfect. Acceptable.
Okay. The other Gundam show is Gundam Build Fighters Try, in which a new trio of kids will battle with their Gunpla. The trailer suggests that Randorel's still in it. So I'm assuming they probably have cameos from all the other cast of the previous show as well.
I guess. I really liked the first season. I really, really liked the first season. But this is too soon. I suspect this is not going to be well animated. It's not going to look good. Oh, gosh.
No word on the hotness of the mums either.
Yeah, that's... yeah.
That was a big appeal, because the first one was definitely Gundam for
I mean,
dads.
Maybe you, Brian. I don't know.
It was a show built for full-time panda from Polar Bear Cafe. And I wonder whether they go, oh, only dads were watching it last time. Maybe we should actually make something for kids. Because it does seem...
Maybe.
But the advert seems much more focused on the kids this time around.
I have hopes, but I think I know better than to think that this is going to be as good as the first season, so...
No, because the people have said...
They're already, like, we have the list of what some of the outsourcing companies are working on right now. And they, Build Fighters Try looks like it's really behind in production. Anyway.
Yeah. And people have been saying that animators who they liked their work on the original series are working on the other Gundam series this year. So.
Okay.
Ino Battle Wa Nichijou Kei no Nakadei. Hopefully it will get an English title.
Something nice and simple.
It is a show where a literature club get magic powers. And it is where Studio Trigger pay their bills by adapting some light novel bollocks. I think it's light novel, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean
it sounds like
Kill la Kill was really a failure, but I guess they had already agreed to this by the time they were producing Kill la Kill. Yeah, they're working years ahead. This is their failsafe in case Kill la Kill failed, I guess, because it does look really generic, doesn't it?
This will pay for Inferno Cup 2 next year.
Perhaps.
all the money they can get for that show.
I mean, I'm actually looking forward to it. Trigger just consistently does good work, and perhaps with some engaging production, this could be a good story. I don't know.
That's why I'm on my list to check out. It may turn out better than it sounds. Next up.
I expect so. I hope so.
By the way, the trailer for it is pretty good too. So
I've not seen the trailer for that. Any opinions, Anthony?
I just think the premise alone, that I read the first line, five members of a literature club, could have said anything. Play a Street Fighter, could have done anything, and I wouldn't have read past that first line. No.
I totally watch literature club members play Street Fighter.
Oh, yes. No, that was extreme. That was extreme.
Anyway.
Well, there may be a show for Anthony next year.
Oh.
If it can get all its licensing in order. Okay, next up, Parasite, adaptation of 90s horror manga about a teenager whose hand gets possessed by an alien invader. And I will try and get past the modern character designs.
What's wrong with the character designs?
I've read the comic, so.
Oh, okay.
They've made the main character look even more nebbishy than he did. They're giving him glasses and a duffel coat.
Mm-hmm.
We get it, he's a nerd.
I've just seen a lot of hype for this. I haven't read the manga, but I trust enough people.
The trailer who would know.
Oh, it looks brilliant.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Things getting transforming into stuff and then just biting things. That's
really appealing,
want.
Yes.
It does totally look very good. It does look cool, actually.
And the thing is, the live action one actually looks more like the original comic in terms of how everyone's dressed and stuff, so. Both adaptations will work in their own way.
Yeah. I'm excited for this, actually. I watched the trailer and I watched it again. Cause like, yeah, that is awesome. I like the designs. I don't know the original at all, but the alien, like parasites, they look awesome.
All scary. I'm hoping for is they keep in the internal monologues of animals, which are in the comic.
In what so?
So occasionally there's scenes where an animal is the focus, is the main character of the scene, and then you get like an internal monologue of what the animal's thinking.
Oh, bizarre. That's interesting, actually.
Next on the list is Log Horizon Season 2, where people are trapped in a massively multiplayer online role-playing game and try to deal with their new existence. And more importantly, nobody is called Death Gun.
I thought people would be done with this now.
I've seen a lot of hype for the second season. Yeah, people are excited about it. It's not just Brian. This isn't another Brian and Captain Earth example. This is a this is a show people care about. And bully for them. I couldn't get over the first season. I thought it was kind of bad. So, but we've been through that.
Yeah, you're wrong. I'm right. History will be my witness. Next up, we have Madan No O To Vanadis. Again, I hope he gets an English title. Okay, this is a fantasy show about a defeated archer who has to serve one of seven women rulers, who are the Vanadis of the title. I was first excited to see a new Tatsuo Sato anime, who he did Nadesco and Bodacious Space Pirates, amongst other things. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I saw it was based on a fantasy light novel series. Then I saw my hopes went up again when I saw the anime art barely resembled the book and manga adaptation art. And then I saw the trailer, so which unfortunately has at least one crotch to tits to face pan, and another character who has an unfeasibly shiny cleavage, as seems to be the style these days.
You've perked my interest.
And there is nothing but talking. It's a fantasy show about seven women who have superpowered magic items. Why is the trailer just showing people talking all the time?
And you want to watch this? This is your list to watch.
It was originally on my list, and now I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I'll probably wait and see what other people say about this before I spend 30 minutes on this. Yeah. Looks like crap.
It does. Not for me at all.
Okay, next I have on my list Magic Kaito 1412, which is the adaptation of the pre-Conan manga about the occasional Conan guest star, the Phantom Thief Kaito Kid. I think this is probably the thing for me which has most likely to be good, very little chance of it going wrong. Though it is A1 rather than TMS doing it. I don't know whether A1 have started to do Conan nowadays or whether it's just licensing. No one else excited about it.
I've never, you know, I've only seen a little bit of Detective Conan, but I liked it. I just never really dug deeper than a few episodes of the TV series and one movie. Maybe I should dig deeper into it because I enjoyed what I saw.
Kaito Kid's one of my favorite characters, I think. He's a fan.
I haven't seen a minute of him in the anime either, so.
He's a guy who looks almost exactly like the adult Conan. Who dresses up like a wizard, a stage magician rather, and wears a monocle and steals things.
Awesome.
I didn't know what this was, and then when I seen like the promo shot, I thought it was the guy from Sailor Moon. That shows how much Sailor Moon stuff I know, but no, I didn't know where it was. But now that you've said it's to do with Detective Conan, this could be a good way to give it a try without going too deep, and you know, this could be alright actually. I might add it to the list.
Next on my list is, excuse me, clear my throat, Seven Deadly Sins. And I looked at the synopsis of this and I thought, this is Ninku, but with knights instead of ninjas.
Which is ridiculous. Already, that's
so the story seems to be that in the past there was a bunch of heroes who split up before the comic started. And the leader looks unexpectedly young and they will have to get back together again to solve something. I like the key art. I like the character designs. I've seen they kind of look like close to Oda and Toriyama, but not aping them. And it is Tensai Okamura, who did Wolf's Rain directing, so it should look good. So it all depends on how good the comic is, which I have no idea. Anyone else interested?
Sure, yeah, I'll watch.
Yeah.
Crunchyroll have the comic, don't they, I think?
They do.
Which I have give it a little skim, and it's all right, but, you know, I'll give this a try.
I'm just hoping that's a good chance that they'll get the anime as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Next up is Ronia the Robber's Daughter, in which children of feuding clans of robbers try to get their families to see eye to eye. It's based on an Astrid Lindgren novel, and it is by Studio Ghibli, and it is also CGTV. CG animation on TV.
Mm.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer?
No.
I have. It looks alright. There's not a great deal to be shown other than this weird looking CG girl run through the forest, but the CG's not annoying at this point.
So you're telling me that Ghibli's grand strategy for making money all over again
CG
is to bring back World Masterpiece Theater?
Yeah.
Alright.
Go with what you know.
Everyone's going to be watching this. I feel like everybody's going to be giving it a try. Whether
I think it's Goro Miyazaki directing.
Okay.
Yeah, I've read that.
Next up, we've got Shingeki no Bahamut Genesis, which I tried to figure out the plot to this. So the plot went far too long, so I just wrote some fantasy nonsense about a god's demons and a sealed dragon.
Don't worry, it looks cool.
It does. Very. This is my...
Impressive trailer. That is an impressive trailer.
Yeah, it is directed by Keiichi Sato, who did the character design of Big O, directed Tiger and Bunny.
Sold.
The same music composer as Tiger and Bunny. The voice actors of Tiger and Bunny and Saito are in it. Not as main characters, but as supporting characters.
Okay.
And most importantly, I discovered looking at the... there's already Wikia for it. There is a duck who wears a crown called Hansa.
Awesome.
It's very funny looking, but I think this is my show. I think this is going to be the one that really, you know, this season, you've got to be watching this.
Okay.
But I've been wrong. I have been wrong. But this is my A number one, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm super hyped for this as well.
Good. Though, if you think about it, that it's based on that, was it Rage of Bahamut, the card?
It's a mobile phone card game.
Mobile phone, that is an instant put-off for anyone.
Hey, Rainbow Gate can be one of the most important anime of our generation, so can Bahamut. That's my stance on this.
I just want people to get licensed Tank and Dryland so I can watch the rest of that. It is also another mobile phone game. Okay, next up, which I'm not sure whether I'm going to watch this or not. I'm in two minds. Terraform Mars.
Oh, boy.
In Terraforming Mars goes badly wrong when super evolved and super racist looking cockroaches decide that they don't want humans on their planet. So some of the worst assholes on Earth are given insect-based superpowers and sent to Mars to kill them. And I've read some of the comic. It is like Gantz, if Gantz was even more racist and everyone was Kamen Riders.
You've just described the most perfect show for me. Sending the Expendables up to Mars, this is going to be great.
So is it... wow, okay, whatever.
I've watched the trailer for it. It looks pretty dark. Things getting killed. This is up there.
Yeah, I'm just thinking I don't want to give it its time. It is too racist.
Where, in what way? Because I
did not see the character designs of the cockroaches.
Let's have a look, because I haven't actually. Cockroach...
And then all the characters are also racist.
Okay. Oh, right, I have to say.
You ever heard of Black Sambo, Anthony?
I see what you're saying.
It's quite impressive because it also somehow manages to take in sort of 19th century racist images of Irish people as well.
Oh my God.
Like super racist.
When's the comic from? Is it old?
It's an ongoing comic, isn't it?
It's ongoing.
What? Jesus,
it's one of these post-Gantz survival comics.
Ah, I see.
Where people go and do things, and then most of them get killed, and then some of them come back with some more people to get killed.
Which is, by the way, one of my favorite tropes. But
yes,
probably not going to watch this. So
the cockroaches look insane.
The only way they can save it, if it turns out the cockroaches is with the good guys all along. And even then, that's still pretty racist.
It is. There's no good way.
I mean, the story should be that the cockroaches are the good guys. Because the humans, as I said, are some of the worst assholes.
In what way? In how are they bad?
It's just, I can't remember. I just remember them being super unpleasant.
Oh, this sounds great.
It's going to make my skin crawl watching this, so I'm just going to...
Yeah, not because of cockroaches.
That's why I'm just thinking, just don't give it the time of day.
Exactly. Don't even mention it. Just edit this section out. Next
is World Trigger, which is a comic about interdimensional immigration control, sort of.
Too much CGI from what I can
I've not see. Watched the trailer.
Oh, you'll not want to watch the show when you've
my
watched
question,
the trailer.
It is a really bland comic, which currently runs in Weekly Shonen Jump. I know some people like it.
You're the first person I've heard say that, yeah.
Some people like it, though. I'm like, but then again, maybe that's why they need a mix of stuff. So people who like bland things will like it.
I mean, I've heard that they're kind... This is Toei and Shonen Jump kind of looking for one of their Naruto replacements, right?
Yeah, because Naruto is definitely heading towards its end now in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably still a good two years off in the...
Seriously?
Yeah.
I heard that it was in its final arc like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought the battle had finished, but it just started off again this week. Slightly different battle, but it's continuous. They haven't like had a time pass or anything.
It's like, well, Toriko failed, so I'm sorry, Naruto manga author, but you're going to have to keep working.
Toriko got decent ratings. I suspect they'll bring Toriko back.
I heard the opposite. I heard it got really bad ones.
No, I think it just...
That all of its ratings were basically because it comes before One Piece.
Yeah, but they took it off and put it on... what is it still Dragon Ball Kai running? Or have they replaced that with something else now?
Dragon Ball Kai, yeah, hasn't run in years.
No, they brought it back.
Oh, they did?
That's what they replaced Toriko with. Toriko replaced Dragon Ball Kai, and then I believe Dragon Ball Kai doing the Buu saga.
I would like to see more Toriko. Like, I shit on the anime a couple episodes back.
Yeah, the anime's not very good compared to the comic.
Yeah, exactly.
Right out the gate, they started adding stuff and messing around with it. So maybe they just leave it a while and then they'll come and do a Hunter with it. Okay, next on my list is a late entry, which I put on was Gugure Kokoru-san, in which a girl with a weird abstract design accidentally summons a Bishonen Kokori, who then worries about her poor diet because she only eats noodles.
What's a Kokori?
It's one of those rain spirits where you make them and hang them in the window.
Oh, I know.
You see various other anime. Because the girl's character design looks like one of them, but then the actual one is a beautiful white-haired man. And the trailer looks fairly silly. Has lots of wacky animation.
Is this a short?
No, it's full length, I believe.
Okay. Maybe.
Then I had Kaito Joker, which is something else about a Phantom Thief, which was only just noticed. The character designs look nice. The trailer looks fun. It's just a kid's show. And it wasn't going to be on the list, but then I saw that the I, Tenchi Muyo, which is our shorts, we'll have the original characters in After All. And then I saw all the character designs and they were just so hilariously leg fetishy. It's like,
well, I'm going to be on my list, but when I read you'd put that, I was like, yep, let's go on the list.
Every female character has got some sort of thing going on with their legs.
Mm-hmm. The shortest skirt I have ever seen.
That is the most appealing thing I've heard about this cartoon.
That's exactly what
new Tenchi Muyo? new character designs? Short? an obvious leg fetish.
Man, when's it out?
I like Iura, which had one of the most obvious leg fetishes I've ever seen in anime. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, it's on my
I guess
list
I like
well.
It just because it makes me think of Iura. Anyway, sorry, Anthony.
Let's get to Anthony's list. Anything?
I think I have one left.
Psycho Pass 2.
Yeah, I didn't watch the trailer because I don't want any spoilers, but I'm loving the first series so much. Why the hell not? That's all I
Okay,
say.
Anthony, yes. I'm sorry. This is probably going to suck.
Really? It's,
yeah, really.
There's a film coming out and everything.
I know. I forget who the... TV Tokyo or whoever it is that airs Noi Tamina fully own the rights to Psycho Pass, which isn't true of anything else that runs on Noi Tamina. And they are flogging this for all it's worth.
It seems to be
because it's much easier to make money off of it. So the new season has nobody who worked on the first season on it.
Oh.
And the person writing the script for it wrote one episode of Psycho Pass, and it was by far the weakest episode.
Oh, wow.
It's a new production company working on it, new director. The director is the guy who did Blood Plus, which is one of the least engaging things I've ever subjected myself to. I don't see this being any good, but I'm going to watch the first episode anyway.
Good. But I feel so disappointed now that you've ruined it. Well, actually, no, you haven't ruined it. They have. They've ruined it by just, let sleeping dogs lie. If it ends on a good note, just leave it at that, but. Oh, it's disappointing to hear that.
Serves you all right for liking Psycho Pass in the first place.
But there's no need to go try to print money with it.
Brian,
just
you are feisty today. I don't know if you normally like this. Jeez.
I finally got my sound system sorted out for doing the podcast, you see. I've suddenly renewed with energy because now I can hear my own voice again.
Oh, that's where it is.
I thought he was just getting cranky because this hour has been going on for about 2 hours now. And
that's
it's past
fine.
His
time. These episodes go on for 2 hours, that's fine. So Bradley's List has got more Mushishi.
Yes.
Is that the
second
or third?
There's several sequels, actually. Let me just shotgun these out real
quick.
Okay. So there will be more Mushishi. We're getting a second... Okay, the way that this has been described that I see is this is the second core of the second season.
Okay.
Definitely looking forward to
it. It's like when
that.
They split a Mad Men or a...
Yeah. See, core is actually a useful word. It's not just a word that nerds use to sound like they're, I don't know, some people think using the word is pretentious. I think it's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, it's using a French word, you see, in America. That's pretentious.
Don't the Japanese also use that word?
Yeah, but they've adopted it from France.
Anyway, there's also a second season of Chaika coming. Did you ever get around to watching the first season, Anthony?
I didn't. It's on my... I have a document saved on my system, which is basically stuff to watch. And it is on there. So...
I have a similar document in my head. The list.
And I bet
it's
never
actually been completed. It will never be completed. There is a part of me that thinks that as long as it's never completed, I will never die.
But no, if I like the first series, this will certainly be one. I like the character design, so...
It's definitely, like, I watched it and I thought, oh, this is definitely a Anthony series.
I don't know if that's a good
thing. Well, I know, right? It's back at you for that comment earlier in the podcast.
This is what it is. It's been building up from that.
It's fun trying to predict what y'all are going to like. Honestly, this is one of my favorite things about coming on the podcast with y'all. There's also going to be a new Aikatsu. This anime is huge right now, and they are on a third season, and they are kind of rebooting it, moving on to the next generation of idols for little girls and guys too. But and to be fair, most of the people I know in real life who are fans of this are women. It is an incredibly feminine and, from what I've seen, well-produced show. But I've only seen some of the first season. I might skip directly into the third season here since the cast is largely new.
Another collectible card game anime as well.
Ooh.
It is, yeah. Fate Stay Night. The remake is coming. This is adapting the Unlimited Blade Works story arc, which I think is the most well-regarded out of the three in the original visual novel. It's being adapted by the same studio and I think the same staff that handled Fate Zero and did such a killer job with it. I hope it's good. A lot of the characters in Fate and so on and its various spin-offs are just some of my favorite in anime in general, particularly Rin Tosaka and Saber. But I'm beginning to suspect over time that the big problem with Fate Stay Night isn't that it got a bad anime adaptation. It's that the source material kind of sucks. We'll see.
I watched a trailer for this, and it looks really well animated. I was like, wow, those fights look awesome.
It looks good.
It
looks
very
good.
Very good.
I mean, if it's, I hope it's good, because if it's good, then it fixes the biggest problem with Fate Zero, which is it's a lead up into a really, really weak anime. So anyway, there's also a movie coming out that's tied to this as well. So we have that to look forward to. I think that's adapting the Heaven's Feel arc. I'm not sure. I'm often wrong on this podcast because I don't do anywhere near the same amount of research that Brian and Anthony does to prepare for it.
My research? Mine's looking at the first line of a synopsis and then scroll the shots.
Okay.
Oh, I joke, I joke.
Brian, anyway, should I just finish off my list?
You can, yes.
Okay, so Amagi Brilliant Park is the new Kyoto Animation TV series. I think this has been in the works for a very long time, but then I looked up, just because the name sounded familiar, then I looked up about the source material, which it turns out is written by the same guy who did Full Metal Panic.
it's got the same teddy bear thing in the trailer.
Yeah, that's interesting. I really like Full Metal Panic. I keep hoping for another season of Full Metal Panic. But I will settle for this, since the combination is, it's been done before and I liked it when it happened before. What I've seen of the character designs and so on look fairly generic. I don't know if this is going to be any good. I'm just hoping, much like the rest of this. And, Doga Koba, who, have just consistently been like a studio when they make something, I watch it and I tend to enjoy it, are making a Pretty Boy supernatural cartoon called Danten ni Waru, which is apparently also called Cloudy Laugh, according to my anime list. They're not the most reliable source, but that is a terrible name.
Awful name.
Anyway, so in medieval times in Japan, they've outlawed swords and basically any tools of violence, but weirdly enough, they're still crime. So the Japanese government's solution to this problem is to throw people in a giant lake prison, which is guarded and maintained by three pretty boys. The synopsis that I've read, which is the only synopsis I can find, ends on saying the three boys of the Kumo family were assigned to transport the criminals to their new home. Although, is that the only thing they were doing? ...
What's
because
that
the pretty boys,
to?
My mind immediately goes, so they're butt-fucking each other? But maybe there's supposed to be something sinister here. I don't know. I've been totally corrupted, though.
There's an image I saw for that, which is like a huge dragon, so I don't know whether
it's
going to be...
Yeah, I'm looking at that same image, too.
Yeah, so I'm not... I don't want to cross it off, but it's not on my list.
Maybe we'll get at least one good dragon cartoon this season.
It ain't going to be that Angie one, that's for sure.
Or three, yeah.
Righty-ho, that's our, what we're looking forward to. I think there's a lot of stuff which could be good,
mm-hmm.
but nothing super standing out as guaranteed hotness, except, of course, Log Horizon Season 2. But before we go, it's time
to audibly roll my eyes.
I heard it, Brad.
Okay, it's time to play a game of. Did it come after or before? I can't remember what we called this thing before. When
did people give a damn? No, what was this?
No, it's. I got rid of that. Remember, and it's replaced it with a new one.
I liked it. When did people give a damn?
I know.
I
it merged into this other one though, didn't it? Last time I had to look.
Did
and check.
I remember that? But
so Bradley, you can go first.
Okay.
So you're going to start. Your starting point is round the half, and I'm going to give you a name of another anime. And you have to tell me whether its first episode occurred before or after Ranma 1/2.
Okay.
So you're starting in 1989 with Ranma 1/2 and Astro Boy.
Which Astro Boy? Because I think you're trying to trick me.
No, I'm not trying to trick you. This, if they've got multiple ones, it is the first. The very first episode of...
Oh, okay, yes. Before.
That is correct. Pokemon.
After.
Galaxy Express 999.
Oh. After. No. Yeah, I'm going to go with after.
No, before. 1978.
Okay.
So you got three
right. I often confuse Galaxy Express 999 with that other Galaxy Express-like show.
Yeah.
It aired in 2003.
Yeah, I can't remember what that one is. So, Anthony, your starting point is Captain Tsubasa in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Mask.
Tiger Mask came before.
That is correct. Correct? No,
is it 1974?
No, 1969.
Oh, God.
Kindaichi Case Files.
That is after.
That is correct. Kinnikuman.
After.
No, before, 1983.
Oh, damn
it. You're drawing at the moment. We have to go back again. So, Bradley, your starting point is Galaxy Express 999. It's the first, okay, the first of these to get to the ninth one on my list. Your lists is the winner. Okay, Dragon Ball. Did that come before or after Galaxy Express 999?
After.
That's correct. Dr. Slump.
Before.
Correct. Doraemon.
I think the first adaptation was before.
You are correct. Yu Yu Hakusho.
After.
Correct. Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh, those were pretty close if I remember correctly, but I think it was after.
You are correct.
Okay.
And Lupin the Third.
Before.
That is correct. So, Anthony, you have a chance to draw this, but if you get one wrong, you've lost.
Oh, come on, that's so much pressure.
Kinnikuman is your starting point at 1983. Saint Seiya.
I feel like I'm going to mess up already. After.
You are correct.
Oh.
Cat's Eye.
Cat's Eye. After.
No, before.
Oh.
You went flying through last time, but you stumbled this time. No, Cat's Eye was 1983. Mm. Saint Seiya was 1986.
For what it's worth, Anthony, I think your list was a lot harder than mine.
They were randomized, so
out of
a selection of 40 titles.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there was some really hard ones later on the list, like ones which happened in the same year, but I've also got the months and days when they were released as well.
That is tough.
It could have been easier because Anthony does have access to the file which I pull these names out of with these dates against them.
I ain't a cheat.
He probably hasn't looked on that page of the document yet. Okay, anything you want to plug, Bradley? Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on the Twitters. Other than that, nothing really happening at the moment, though. Now that I have full-time employment, I am thinking of trying to contribute something beyond just appearing on this podcast occasionally.
Oh,
so, but it's just an idea. There's nothing to it.
Anthony, you have something to plug this week?
I do.
I'm going to let you do it as well.
Oh, thank you. If you are at Okinawa in Glasgow, between the 14th and the 16th, you can come and watch me do Adventure Bastards live.
Do you know which day you're doing it yet?
I think it's the 16th, which is the Sunday. I don't know what time. I'm pretty confident it's going to be Sunday though. And that is our role play run through of Call of Cthulhu. I don't know which story we're doing, but it should be a laugh. It should be fun. It'll either be really good or awful.
Have you got your own dice?
I don't. I'm pleased you've said that because, yeah, we will need dice. Yeah. I'm sure Perrin would have thought of that. He's bought a lot of props so far, so yeah, it should be interesting.
Maybe he's going to break out the Cthulhu live action role playing. I used to have that book, never used it. But
but no, it should be a fun weekend. I've never been to an Okinawa before, so, yeah.
Are you all going to cosplay as your characters?
Yes. Well, within reason, you know, within reason. But yeah.
Tweed jackets and...
Exactly right. I have been looking online on eBay for such items. I may also be cosplaying anyway. So there we go. I've been speaking to somebody about making me a cosplay.
Is this the cosplay, your Street Fighter cosplay you'd had planned for?
No, it's not that. Now. That is still on the back burner. It's a Naruto one, actually. So, yeah. Old school.
As Naruto.
No, as Kakashi. Anbu Kakashi, not just normal Kakashi.
So there you won't have to see any of your face?
No, I'll still have some face.
Okay, although he's been wearing the mask.
I could wear the mask, that would make it a little bit easier as well. Well said.
And you find me on Twitter, @awesome_engine. And as always, you can find this podcast, the one you've just been listening to, on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the Nostradamuses that are Dynamite in the Brain.
Nostradamus.
Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.